And welcome to yet another podcast with me, Fiona Jane Brown, the History Queen. Now we're continuing in our series of urban legends, and this week we're going to talk about William Wallace's connections with Aberdeen. Many folk believe that Wallace's arm is buried either at St Macher or at St Fiddoc's Kirk. So let's have a look at the story of the Wallace relic.
The original story, which I actually heard way back as early as primary school, and we're talking about more or less 40 years ago, we're all told that William Wallace, Guardian of Scotland, was executed in Smithfield Market in London. He was hung, drawn and quartered, and one of his limbs was sent up to Aberdeen and displayed on the spikes of the Justice Port. And then people stole away the arm at night and buried it at St Macher, underneath the shape of a star in the wall. And I have seen that star thousands of times, and I've spoken about it on tour, and that was the story. But then, when I came to Aberdeen, and I discovered a wee book called The Book of St Fiddoc, written by a guy called Thomas White Ogilvie, who was a doctor in Torry, I found out that the legend had another version, that Wallace's arm was actually stolen by patriots in Torry, and they spirited it all the way across the Dee and buried it at St Fiddoc's. So, let's have a look at this story. Now, Ogilvie was originally from Keith. He studied at Marischal College doing medicine, and he was also interested in botany. He returned to Aberdeen after working abroad, in Africa, I believe, came back in 1895 to work as a general practitioner in Torry. And that's when he followed up this legend and quite a few others, which he includes in his book. Because he'd gone walking around the hills of Torry and Kincorth long before there were ever houses there, when it was just farmland, he was well acquainted with the place. So it wasn't a surprise that he would want to write about this place that he came back to work. Now, ultimately, he moved out of Aberdeen and he actually died in London, fairly young age of 48, in the year 1908. Now, that was only 6 years after the Book of St Fiddoc was actually published. Now, it was published as a sort of, I suppose, a special for the Torry St Fiddoc's Church Bazaar in 1901. That's actually what it says on the flyleaf of the document, if you get it. So not only, of course, does he have this story about Wallace's arm, but he also has a tale which is definitely entirely fictitious of Wallace's army attacking the English navy in the River Dee and being aided by Torry fisherfolk. Now, there is absolutely no written record of William Wallace coming to Aberdeen. It's entirely possible that his colleague and fellow soldier Andrew Murray might have been in Aberdeen, since the name being Murray of Murray, we can assume that that's where he came from. Ogilvie writes in a very old-fashioned, high-flown style, but he writes deadly seriously, and it seems that he completely accepted the story that Wallace's arm was buried at St Fiddoc's. So either the St Macher story wasn't very well known, or because Old Aberdeen and Torry only became part of Aberdeen City in 1891, maybe it hadn't sort of transferred itself to the rest of the city at that time. So this is what Ogilvie writes. A mangled limb hurried from a London scaffold to rot on the Justice Port of Aberdeen, but that could not be. When night fell on the city, the limb was taken by patriots from the town gate and carried across the river to the old churchyard by the bay, and tradition points to its southeast corner as the spot where the dust is, in part, that of Scotland's hero. Okay, let's have a look at this. Firstly, St Fiddoc's had been built by the time Wallace was executed. It was founded in 1242 AD. Bishop de Burnham of St Andrews came and consecrated the church at that time. So it was a functioning church in 1305 when Wallace was executed. However, we did not have a justice port in 1305. Definitely not. The justice port gates, well, the ports of Aberdeen, the gates of the city, date from about 1440. Between 1440 and 1442, these six gates to the city were built. And again, it was partly a recommendation by the local militia, who had been forumed 30 years before, just after the Battle of Harlaw, when the Earl of Mar, Alexander Stewart, had become the constable of Aberdeen, and he'd actually trained up a number of local men in defence techniques. And that was the history of the gates of Aberdeen. So, St Fiddoc's was there. The Justice Port wasn't there. But let's look at St Macher and the stone underneath which Wallace's arm is supposed to be. Some folk call it a mason's mark. It's a star inside a circle and it's cut in relief. It sticks out. It's actually a five-pointed star, a pentagram, which is a pagan symbol. It means it represents the four elements, earth, wind, water and fire, plus the spirit. And a pentagram was popularized by the Babylonians and the Sumerians and later the Greeks. It was then adopted by the Christian Church in medieval times to represent the five wounds of Christ, the five joys of Mary, and the five perfect points of manhood exemplified by Christ. And first of all, I can tell you that the stone is probably a lot older than the wall it sits in. It was about 1170 that the first foundations, the first stone foundations of St Macher were built. By the time we get to the Covenanters' Wars, same time as English Civil Wars, the cathedral was neglected. The minister, William Strachan, being a staunch Presbyterian, actually destroyed the high altar because he believed that it was heretical, being from the time of Catholicism. He caused so much damage that it cracked the stone flags in the floor, and the rear of the church eventually collapsed when a central tower collapsed in 1688, which is why the back of St Macher now looks a bit newer than the rest of it. So I suspect that star-shaped stone was part of the old church and was taken from the rubble and put in the wall. However, that rubble lay there for around two centuries. The wall, well, how old's the wall? 1661, the map shows a wall and a gate where the present wall and gate are. However, the whole site was completely repaired, the back wall of the church and the wall, in the 1830s when John Smith, Tudor Johnny, who was a city architect at the time, actually supervised the rebuilding of St Macher and King's College. So either it had been put in the wall right away, they'd built a new wall around the church because churches didn't have enclosing walls, or it lay in the rubble and then was found and put in the wall in the 1830s. So at the time of Wallace's execution in 1305, that star was still in the wall of the original cathedral. The bishop at that time was one Henry Cheen, and he was absolutely no friend of Bruce's either. And I doubt he would have been happy to have anything to do with Wallace as well. He regarded Wallace as an outlaw. And the thing that finally explodes the myth altogether. I really hate having to say this since it's such a well-known story and a lot of people believe more so the St Macher version of the story than the St Fiddoc's one. Wallace's arms were never near Aberdeen. When he was executed, his limbs were sent to Newcastle, Stirling, Berwick and Perth because they were sites of great importance. They were the richest boroughs in the area and they were also strategically important. So the message that Edward II of England was sending is if you mess with me, this is what's going to happen. He had this terrible, heinous style of execution carried out because I suppose he wanted to convince everybody that he was just as vicious as his father, Edward I, the Hammer of the Scots. But as we know, Edward II was had reputedly a homosexual and had his favourites, his male favourites, in court, which led to his own murder later on in life when his wife Isabella got completely fed up with him and went off with her boyfriend Roger Mortimer. So, sadly, no. Wallace had never anything to do with Aberdeen. Why have we got a statue? Well, that's a whole other story. It was actually a man from Edinburgh that commissioned the Wallace statue that we have now. And the basic crux of that story is Edinburgh didn't want it, so he offered it to Aberdeen and we said, yes, please.
So there we have it. It's impossible that Wallace's limb could ever have come to Aberdeen. But these are two really good, really enduring urban legends. And who are we to say it might have been someone else's arm? That is another story.